Welcome to the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible. With your host, international sales trainer, here he is, Will Crist.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Talks on this little bit foggy, cool afternoon here in Laguna Beach. Because when you get out there and you start looking around on the internet, you find interesting things. Lots of new apps, lots of new ways of doing things. And sometimes they're right in your backyard. I was looking around at the various apps on Salesforce and came up with this wonderful way to integrate Salesforce and integrate Salesforce along with Gmail and came to find Cirrus Insights. And on Cirrus Insights, what I found was that we could... There's an app there to put Gmail contacts together with Salesforce contacts. And what was very interesting is the developer and the founder of this whole enterprise was right in Laguna Hills. So I want to bring on Ryan Huff to talk a little bit about what he's been doing over the past year or two and talk about how this whole notion of Cirrus Insights, what that's going to do for salespeople using both Gmail and Salesforce. So welcome, Ryan.
Hi, Will. Thank you very much.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with Cirrus Insights.
Sure. So, you know, the easiest way to describe it is really just saying it's Salesforce for Gmail. We started a consulting company for Salesforce.com about 2 years ago or so. I got involved with Salesforce a little bit longer than that. And my first experience with Salesforce, we were using Outlook, and Salesforce had their own or giving you capabilities for creating leads and syncing contacts and things like that right from Outlook. We got used to that. It was a fantastic tool. Then when I started this company, we used Google Apps. It was a clear choice for the size of our company and where we were, and it's a great suite of tools available for any small, medium-sized business. And it was immediately apparent that we didn't have, you know, that we were missing the tools that we had for Outlook. We looked around for what seemed like years for a solution to an obvious problem, and we never found it. So last April, we decided to just bite the bullet and come out and develop it on our own. So what we've ended up with is Cirrus Insights, which is an extension for your browser that brings information from Salesforce.com into Gmail.
So tell me a little bit of how this works.
Sure. So it's very simple. It's an extension for your browser. You open up Gmail. You open up an email from a prospect or a client, somebody you're communicating with, and information from Salesforce.com is just immediately and instantly displayed right there next to that conversation in the sidebar of Gmail. So you see basic contact information. You see sales history. You see open activities, support tickets, things along those lines displayed right there for you. In a very concise but clear format. You can create new leads, you can create new contacts, you can log emails that come in against that contact. Really, we're just scratching the surface of all the different things that we can do here.
Well, now, where did you come up with this?
Well, I'd like to say that it was completely unique idea, but you know it really I can't take all the credit for it. You know, I mean, I started up with Salesforce in an environment, like I said, that was using Outlook, and so we got used to those tools. And when that tool was taken away from us, it was kind of painful. And so, you know, we looked around for a good solution and just never found something that I really personally liked. And you know, we just brainstormed for quite some time on, you know, what kind of different things would we like to do here, and how should we build it?
So who were you talking to when you were coming up with these ideas?
Well, like I said, we started off, our DNA was in a Salesforce consulting company. So talked to other Salesforce consulting partners, other independent consultants out there, people who recognize the problem, people that are hearing from their clients that that there's this pain and there's a need for a solution in this space. And we talked to customers out there that, you know, had similar needs as ours.
Okay. So what was your next step when you decided what you wanted to do? What was your next step?
Well, we dove in headfirst. You know, we looked around at the various other apps that were out there, did some research, and you know, we'd found some in the previous searches that we'd done. But just wanted to see if there were any surprises that we were going to run into. And then we really just dove in headfirst you know, very much the romantic view of startups of late into the night and, you know, throwing things against the wall, seeing what sticks. And, you know, it took from April to August, to really develop it to a point where we felt it was ready for people to start coming in and kick at the tires. So last August, right before Salesforce's Dreamforce event, we opened up a beta, and we didn't do any kind of marketing around it. We talked a little bit about it on Twitter and the various social networks. And from that, we were fortunate enough to get a pretty loyal following of people within the Salesforce community. And from there, you know, we decided to launch the paid plans just about 30 days ago.
So you actually did the coding yourself?
Yes, sir.
All right. And so what's been, once you launched it?
Well, we got a lot of feedback, and thankfully it was pretty much all very positive. A lot of people are asking for a lot of the same things. So, like I said, we're scratching the surface. You know, we don't have a silver bullet yet. There are a lot of things that we still need to add to the app. But a lot of people are asking for a lot of the same types of things. So we're getting a lot of feedback as far as features go, things like contact sync, calendar sync, things along those lines. But, you know, we were really happy to hear that people were just saying, thank God, you know, this is something that we've been looking for a long time, and we love it. And so we've been getting some pretty emotive responses on the various channels we've been talking to people on.
Well, that sounds like a very innovative and creative thing. Did you work closely with Salesforce?
Our consulting practice has been primarily working with AppExchange partners and helping software companies typically launch new products on the AppExchange. So, you know, through that process and through that network, certainly have quite a few relationships within the product teams at Salesforce. But, you know, I would say Salesforce itself, the community in general, is a very unique community in its openness. And in my years of working in enterprise software all over the place, never seeing quite a community as open and willing to share ideas and help out other people who are asking questions. So it's been pretty neat to have feedback from that side of things as well.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you put something together like this, do you start putting a company together? How do you market it? What are you doing with marketing?
Well, my background has been software development, product management, project management, things along those lines. So you know, when we got the idea, I'd like to say that we put together a detailed business plan and sales metrics and things along those lines. But really what I started with was coding. Pretty soon after we started, though, it became apparent that this thing had legs and that we could go somewhere with it. And at that point, started talking to people to join the team, and also started working on just various ideas around, you know, once we package this, how do we monetize it? You know, how do we get that viral loop that we're looking at, or that we're seeing in a lot of the quote unquote Web 2.0 companies out there. So we definitely, you know, even though we've started with a very, I would say, tactical approach of writing code first and looking around to see if anybody would buy it later. You know, soon thereafter, we started definitely taking a hard look at, you know, how could we turn this into a company?
And what have you found so far?
Well, we found that, you know, there's been quite a bit of feedback that it's been missing in the marketplace, which was something we knew. You know, to be honest, one thing that we weren't quite sure of was the overall market size. We knew that there was quite a bit of certainly uptake in the small to medium sized businesses. But, you know, we really didn't have a great idea of what the adoption of Google Apps specifically was with enterprise. So, you know, naturally the focus of this group, the market for this application, are companies that are using both Salesforce and Google. So in that sense, it is rather a niche by some definitions. But, you know, both of those groups are very large and growing very quickly. And Google Apps itself is going up market very quickly. It seems today we're hearing about new companies, new large companies that have, you know, 1,000-plus employees that are transitioning away from, you know, the traditional exchange or even some Lotus Notes. So, you know, that was one piece of the marketing plan that, you know, we honestly still have some question marks around as far as, you know, what's the total size of this. But so far, just in the last 30 days when we've been actively marketing, you know, there's a lot of latent need for this, and we've been fortunate enough to tap into that.
Well, that's wonderful. I want to talk a little bit more about this. Can you stick around after we come back from hearing from our friends over at Sandler?
Of course, I'd be happy to.
Super. Well, now we'll get right back to you right after hearing from our good friends over at Sandler Training.
Hello, this is Bob Anoni with Sandler Training, here to talk to you about rule number one. You have to learn to fail to win. Think about learning how to walk or riding a bike. When you first started to learn how to walk, of course you fell. And you fell again, you fell again, but eventually you mastered the art of walking. Same thing with riding a bike or driving a car or making cold calls or starting up a business. Henry Ford failed 4 times before he succeeded. Thomas Edison worked almost 10 years on the light bulb before he succeeded. They weren't failures, but they were willing to risk failure to find out what they were truly capable of achieving. At Sandler, we ask you to learn from your failures and understand that the process is failing, not you as a person. You are not a failure. The process that you are using isn't apparently the right one to produce the results that you're trying to produce. So if the cold call isn't going well, we'd ask you to examine the sales process that you're using. Don't get discouraged if your sales call doesn't go well. Learn from it. So again, Sandler rule number one is you have to be willing to fail and risk failure in order to win, to find out what you're truly capable of achieving.
There's something happening out there today. All across America, we're seeing encouraging signs of economic recovery. Businesses are once again thinking about new growth, and new opportunities are emerging. But it raises the question, is your company positioned to take full advantage of the economic recovery and the opportunities it presents? Maybe it's time to ask, how has the recession impacted your business model? Is your business as relevant as it once was? Should you consider entering new markets or expanding into new categories? And what do customers really value about their relationship with you? The golden thread through all these questions and the answer to each and every one of them can be found in just one place. Your brand. It's much deeper than your logo and much bigger than your advertising. Your brand is the enabler of your entire business strategy. Rikus Baird is a brand strategy firm that can help. They specialize in business branding. They've helped hundreds of companies from startups to Fortune 500 leverage their brands to drive growth. They can do the same for yours. It's really quite simple. Find out more, just visit brandingbusiness.com. That's www.brandingbusiness.com. And plant the seed for economic growth. And now back to Will and his guest.
Ryan.
Yes.
So the folks over at Sandler talked about failing and how failing is the way that you learn from your failures. Did you ever in this process think that you were failing?
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, my best man at our wedding, however many years ago that was, made a joke about how he and I had tried to start up and failed a couple different companies and a couple different ventures along the way. So, you know, we've definitely gone through some failures in the past in terms of, you know, not getting the right people, not getting the right resources, not making the right choices in terms of priorities, things along those lines. You know, we certainly don't have all the answers and we're not doing everything right, but I think we're doing a lot of things right this time around. But, you know, I was speaking to one of our customers the other day that one of the greatest things about starting this up so far has been the relationships with the people that we're meeting as a result of this. Case in point, this conversation. You know, you and I wouldn't have met had Serious Insight not been built and you had you not found it. And we're finding a lot of companies that have some really interesting products and services and people behind them that are signing up for our products, but we're getting to know them as a result of that and building some networks and relationships that way. So it's been pretty exciting. But yeah, you know, I mean, I think with some recent experiences I've had, you know, we kind of jumped into it a little bit fearless. And there were definitely some moments along the way when, you know, we're a bootstrap startup and there were some definite concerns as to, how long it would go before we were making some money on this. And we're not quite there yet, but, you know, the light is definitely at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, some of the things that I thought was interesting was how quickly you picked up on some of the people I introduced you to, like Philippe Laval in France.
Yep.
And Jim Absolutely. Banks in Austin at Insight 2. Shade.
Yeah, I know Frank Carroll is also on your show.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, I love building these relationships. I certainly don't believe I have all the answers and look to people with experience in other areas to see what kind of feedback they have for us. You know, even though I've attempted and failed in a couple of cases of starting up companies, this has really been our first software company. My first software company. And so, you know, there are definitely a lot of, let's call them learning opportunities here, that we're going to, go through over the next several years.
Well, now talk to me a little bit about how important networking is, building a support team that doesn't necessarily show up at the same office every morning.
Sure. Well, my partner lives and works in Tennessee. He's one of my best friends from college, actually. And he and I have been working together consistently for the last 10 years or so. But I haven't seen him face to face for the last 2 years or so. So, you know, but that relationship is as strong as ever. So in terms of, you know, face to face, that is always, you know, fantastic when you can do that. But, you know, it's not always possible. And in this day and age, it's not always necessary. You know, in terms of software development specifically, that has never been more true than it is today. There are capabilities all over the world for, leveraging some very, very talented people, for building software, and we've taken advantage of that in some cases. And really it comes down to that network and knowing the right people to put you in touch with the good people, right? So, I mean, if you do a search for outsourced development, you'll find millions of hits and you'll get burned on quite a few. But if you know what you're looking for and you know the right people to ask to help you find the right people, you know, you can do that if you know how. And the true is the same is true for a lot of different things, be it software development, marketing, business development, things like that.
Well, now, what are the tools that you use to manage your project remotely and you know, communicate remotely?
Well, we use Skype. Same as you do, I know, on a daily basis. Otherwise, you know, we're pretty low tech, for the most part. We certainly use Salesforce. And in fact, a few of my colleagues who've been in close contact, with me throughout this whole process have remarked on the fact that they're jealous that we've put together a kind of a back end system that manages the licenses and sales and all of that stuff in a relatively hands-free manner. So we're using Salesforce to do all of that. Otherwise, in terms of project management, spec writing, things like that, we're keeping it pretty simple using Google Apps, Google Docs, Basecamp, things like that. You know, we are using something called a service called User Voice, which is a really great service that we run our ideas forum off of. So, whether or not you're a software company or any kind of, have any kind of product, User Voice lets you basically put together a forum very quickly and very easily that people can go to and vote on ideas. So that's definitely something that we've been leveraging a lot and ties back into the conversation around the network. You know, we're relying on our community to tell us what kind of things do they really want. And it directly influences the roadmap, the next two big things that we're going to be adding to the product, Calendar Sync and Contact Sync, we specifically left out of the first versions of the app because we wanted to see what people were looking for. And, you know, as soon as they saw the app, they said, hey, this is great, but, you know, we'd like to see a couple of these other things. And, like I said, the feedback has been pretty consistent and very positive in that regard. So, you know, user voice is another one I would definitely recommend.
So you use user voice to have a community moving back and forth, right?
Yes.
And now I'm looking at user voice right now. Are you, do you have, how many forums do you have? 1, 5, 10?
Yeah, it's pretty sick. It's, we're paying, I think, $3.50 a month.
$3.50?
So we've got one forum where we're basically saying, what would you like us to build? You know, a very general purpose forum. And people write in and say, we want contact sync. And other people go, I do too. And they vote on that. And, you know, over time, votes accumulate, people get fresh ideas and pump those into the forum and we get a conversation going. Mm-hmm. I just started today a private little focus group on, contact sync and, you know, what kind of features do we need to build in that? And, how should we build that? How should we roll that out? Things like that. So, again, I don't believe I have all the answers, and I definitely want to lean on the experience of the people in our community to really help everybody by putting out a superior product.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing is that, at least from the tone of what you're saying, is that your users are involved in the development. I mean, they're coming up with what they want to see happen in terms of development. Is that right?
Absolutely. And, you know, that idea, I think, I don't know if I'm sure Salesforce wasn't the first to have it, but they're the largest software company I know of that has really taken that idea and run with it. And so Salesforce put out something called the Idea Exchange years ago, where people say, you know, I want multiple contacts on a task, and people vote for it, and pretty soon you've got 10,000 votes on an idea. And I don't know how many ideas are posted on the Idea Exchange every day, but Salesforce, in every single release that they put out, they highlight those features that come out of the community. And their product managers are very involved in the feedback that they're getting from that community. And, you know, it doesn't, Salesforce at least doesn't turn on a dime. They don't implement every idea that comes in. And sometimes the ideas with the most votes aren't the ones that are implemented. And the same is true here. So, you know, I've been saying contact and calendar sync have been some of the biggest items to get feedback. But in the meantime, while we're working on those and speccing those out and developing those and things like that, we're also working on other things and getting other features that, you know, may have come from the community or may have just come internally, and we kind of merge those ideas together. And it's also not, it's not only those ideas that have the most votes that get implemented. One of the best ideas that I think has been posted ever was posted just 2 or 3 days ago on our forum. So it came in with one vote, and, you know, we bumped it up priority-wise because, you know, we had never thought of that, and it was just a great idea. And some of the best are simple ideas that are just, you know, maybe a different way of thinking of something.
Mm-hmm. So in a real sense, your users are an integral part of your planning and your development phase.
Absolutely. I mean, we're a very small startup. We're bootstrapped, self-funded. We don't have all the resources that Google has, that Salesforce has, that User Voice has. And so, you know, we need to leverage support from the community, from other business leaders, from, you know, really anywhere we can find it. And I think that opportunity is there for any kind of company you're running. You know, nobody has all the answers. And, you know, one of the lessons that I've learned in the recent past, is how important a team of advisors is, and how important it is to leverage that experience. And you don't necessarily need to agree with the feedback that you're getting from advisors, and those advisors may be anonymous people on your website, but it's a point of view that should be accounted for, that should be considered when doing this. And even in our consulting practice, where we're working with software companies to build new products, we've kind of altered our approach a little bit recently to really make that a core focus of the conversation around building that product in literally the very first hour of our first meetings. So I think it's a really, really important idea to really capture feedback often and react to it as best as you can, and see where it goes.
All right. So what are some of the things that you're thinking about in the future? How do you see this rolling out?
That's my favorite conversation. How much time do we have? Ultimately, Serious Insight will be, I don't want to say the, well, I do want to say the, but I'll say a platform for Salesforce in Gmail. So it's a pretty auspicious goal. But what I mean by that is today we allow you to see contact information that comes directly out of Salesforce. And we'll show you their phone number, email address, title, company name. We'll show you sales history, activity history, things like that. And it's pretty fixed. We're pretty flexible about what we show you, you know, that you can only see what you're allowed to see and things like that. But, you know, there's a pretty specific definition around what you can see. But, you know, this year, I would say in the next 2 to 3 quarters, we're going to start building out what is essentially an API that would allow other companies to configure Serious Insight to display information that is coming from, you know, outside of maybe the standard information in Salesforce. So, for instance, EchoSign is a great example. I was talking to them earlier this week. EchoSign is a system that allows companies to send out digital documents for signature. So you attach a PDF and you say where you have the signature blocks, you send that to your customer, they sign it within a few minutes, and that has the complete legal weight of a handwritten signature. So EchoSign has integration with Salesforce, and you can send those agreements through Salesforce.com. Wouldn't it be cool if you could open up an email from somebody and see that an agreement on a contract has stalled, or that they delegated it to somebody else that you didn't know was involved in the deal? And you could see that as soon as you opened up the email. Now you have something else to talk to them about. Now you have something else that may be top of mind that may have slipped through the cracks originally. So, you know, we're planning to make Serious Insight a lot more flexible to really do what you want it to do. You may have your own license management system in Salesforce like I do. And, you know, it'd be great if when you email me, I could see the status of your license and maybe make some tweaks to it. If a customer is having an issue, I could just write from Gmail, say, hey, I'm going to give you a free month, and just do it right there. So those are the plans for Cirrus Insight. And they're not really all that far off.
Well, you got EchoSign. How do you see us integrating with social media like LinkedIn and Facebook?
Excuse me. LinkedIn is definitely something we have to have. So, you know, a lot of listeners are probably familiar with a tool called Reportive. Reportive is a fantastic tool that is an extension similar to ours that runs in Chrome or Firefox and in Gmail. And it looks at somebody's email, looks them up on the social networks, and displays that information there. And unfortunately, Reportive and I occupy the same space, and so our users have been saying, you know, make it compatible with Reportive, or make it compatible with LinkedIn. And so that's also another big thing that's coming. So, you know, being able to bring, the idea is to bring context to conversations that you're having with people. Some of that information is going to come from your CRM, and that information is going to be really relevant to conversations you're having with your customers and prospects. But a lot of other information can come from social networks, like you're saying. So we'll definitely build in LinkedIn integration so that you can, you know, see the smiling face of the person you're communicating with. We're actually talking with LinkedIn now to see, you know, what do we have to do to make this happen? So I will say hopefully sometime soon.
Uh-huh.
And I hope LinkedIn is listening.
Hope what? Hope LinkedIn is listening, yes. Absolutely. Well, now, when you think about being the platform in Gmail, is that Gmail or is that Google Apps?
Great question. We launched with Gmail and Gmail only, in the sense that we live in the sidebar of Gmail. But there really are no boundaries from that standpoint. So, certainly, you know, we're going to have Calendar Sync, but beyond that, we'll also have a presence visually in Google Calendar. Google Voice, I think, would be another great place to live. And other places too. So it doesn't necessarily have to be tied to really anything. But we picked a starting point and that was Gmail. But yeah, I would say someday soon, you know, you'll probably see Cirrus Insight pop up in Google Calendar and help you do, calendaring tasks or give you that same kind of context about people you're having a meeting with, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how have you found Orange County to be as a, you know, as a development environment?
Well, it's close to the beach and close to the mountains, so that's two things counting for it. You know, kind of similar to the conversation we were having around remote resources and things like that. You know, these days I don't know that it really matters too much about where you are. My partner's in Tennessee, outside of Knoxville, not a tech hub by any means. But you know, we're running webinars and sending mass emails out and a variety of things, and it really doesn't matter from that standpoint. That being said, obviously, there are some definite benefits to being local. You know, I went to UCI to get my master's a few years ago, so know people there. There's a great pool of resources, both undergrad and graduate class students there that are, you know, wonderful to pull from. I've actually spoken at UCI a couple times and talked to a few people over there about internship opportunities here at this company and, you know, potentially hiring developers and things along those lines. So, yeah, there's definitely quite a few benefits of being in this area, not to mention there's dozens of software companies that pop up all the time. In fact, I ran into a customer of ours actually on the plane randomly a few months back, and this was days after going live. They were a company I knew. I had no idea they were in Irvine, but I recognized their name, and surprisingly, they recognized ours. It's definitely, I don't know if I would say a hotbed, but there's definitely a lot going on from a tech perspective here.
I just got a tweet that says, this is from Jim Banks, and he says, Shade Tree loves Cirrus Insight.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Jim is the CEO of Insight 2, uh-huh. or Shade Tree, with a product called Insight 2, which Jim and I have been talking about pulling those two products together, too. So I think that's a vote for the whole platform concept there.
Yeah. And it seems to me that what's really creative right now, it's very interesting. Because, you know, you Philippe, Jim, and literally hundreds of others, you've moved from this this whole notion of, you know, complex software that comes on a CD, or if you're going to download it, it might take you 15, 20 minutes to download, and it has multiple features in it, to some very specific software. I mean, and it's exemplified by the whole apps movement. And not only are you being very focused on what you're doing, but then you're also integrating with others all around who are themselves focused on a small niche. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I think Apple and Salesforce.com really pioneered the whole idea of a marketplace. Google has been following in their footsteps. The fact that you can go to the Apple App Store and buy some pretty cool games and some pretty cool apps for a dollar, it's a little ridiculous. And then the neat thing about, you know, the Salesforce community, like I said, it's so open. Everybody wants to get involved. Everybody wants to help wherever they can and answer some questions. And on a daily basis, as we're, you know, writing a spec or we hit a snag with development, we're beginning to turn to Twitter almost immediately to ask the Salesforce community about that specific problem. And it's opening up. And that's, you know, definitely improved by the whole open source software community and things like that. It's pretty interesting how interconnected things are becoming.
Well, help me here. When you share, like on User Voice, when you share your ideas with people, do you have any fear of somebody stealing your intellectual property?
That's a good question. This is a conversation I had with a client of mine recently where he had that fear that, I was recommending we need to get a focus group together so you can start bouncing some ideas across and things like that. And his immediate reaction was, I don't want to tell anybody about my idea. But, you know, one thing I learned a few years ago, was a story I'd heard that, if you go talk to a VC and you give them a business plan, but you ask them to sign a non-disclosure, that door is going to shut right in your face. And the philosophy there is that if your idea is so fragile that talking to somebody about it is going to give you away and will make it a flop, then you don't have much of an idea to begin with. You know, it's been said ideas are a dime a dozen, but execution is what counts. I'm happy. I'm probably more open than most, and some would probably argue more open than I probably should be about what the roadmap is and how big we are and, you know, pricing strategies and things like that. But I figure, you know, especially with this application, it's not a unique idea. Salesforce built one for Outlook years ago. And we have some competitors in the space as well that have been out there for a while, but, you know, we just didn't feel that they executed it as well as we could. So, you know, while there's definitely that, the fire in our bellies to really accelerate and, you know, not only build some additional great features, but really be aggressive on the sales and marketing side. Really, I think we just kind of have the philosophy that if we build it, and get people to find out about it, we'll be successful. Not so worried about opening up our roadmap to say, you know, how do you want contact sync to work? Or, you know, post your ideas here, for this feature. I'm not too concerned with my competitors coming to the ideas forum and saying, hey, somebody had this great idea for Serious Insight. We should do that too. You know, go for it. It's not a question of, arrogance or anything like that, but just our philosophy is just that, you know, if we build this feature in Serious Insight and you build that feature in your product, they're going to be different. And hopefully our differences speak for themselves and resonate with our users. And, you know, maybe we can pick up a few of theirs.
All right. So this whole notion then, I guess we're just in a large revolution of how we go about helping business folks. And I got another tweet from Jim about, you know, his pictures. The whole future of business computing is simplifying the tasks.
Sure, breaking them down.
It seems to me that you know, it was 15 years ago that it was, how do we get this done on the computer? I mean, that's what Word was. That's what Excel was. I mean, that's what, you know, this whole movement toward getting things done on the computer. And they were massive. It just kept, you know, feature bloat kept expanding the size of the app. And now it's going in a different direction. How do we make it simple? How do we make it effective and efficient?
Well, it's a great question, and that's part of where Serious Insight comes in. At the same time, though, you know, I'm getting user voice for $3 a month. And, you know, I mean, I've told other companies that I'm buying software from that you need to charge more. You know, it's worth a whole lot more than that. But user voice is a great example. You know, I mean, it's a simple concept. The application does quite a bit. It's very elegant, but you know, it's a simple concept, and it's one of our tools in our toolbox. And so, you know, on a daily basis, I've got probably 10 different tabs open for various things that I'm trying to do. And of course there's definitely an element of ADD there that, you know, I'm jumping around from thing to thing a little too quick, but, that was a solution, or that was a problem we were trying to solve of, well, we have two of these tabs, Gmail and Salesforce. At least maybe we can, I don't want to say merge them. We're not trying to boil the ocean, but, you know, at least we can cut down on the flipping between these tabs, right? So just bring in some Salesforce information right there. So, you know, I think there's definitely going to be some merging of ideas, but I think as people are, I mean, we're still in a growing environment here, with the internet you know, blowing up with the capabilities of that we have around computing, you know, there's almost no limit of things we can do. And I think as we try to figure out what those things are, you're going to see a lot of other new small apps out there that solve a particular problem that, you know, that really resonates with me. I want to do that. I want to do A/B testing. I want to do cohort analysis. I want to do, you know, all these various things. And those two companies, or those two apps I just mentioned are people that I found from signing up for Cirrus Insight. But they're two features that or two apps that we really need. And, you know, if it's cheaper to hunt around and find different tools that that do that one thing really, really well, then I'll do that versus buy some expensive piece of software that tries to do everything and doesn't do everything as well.
Yeah, it's an amazing time that we're in right now. It's not that difficult to create an app or a piece of software that will do something very, very well, very, very elegantly. And then the way that that's marketed and distributed is very easy,
right?
Either through Salesforce Marketplace or through iTunes. I mean, it's amazing how easy these things are, and the barriers to entry are very small.
Yep. I mean, I think I bought a flashlight app for my phone for $1. You know, and it was only $1 to me, but, you know, there were probably 10,000 other downloads and made that developer some money. You know, and I don't think you can get a whole lot more.
That was at Thanksgiving. I was with my son in Warwick, Massachusetts, which is kind of out in the backwoods of Western Massachusetts. And we were with some of his in-laws who had been there, lived there for 60 years. And now these are people who are people, they're not urban people. They don't have huge commitments to development and internet and electronics. They have iPhones. And one of the fellows there who works on cars, you know, in his backyard, that's his business. And he was talking about it, and he said, yeah, I got on and I was looking around and here I saw this app and I liked it. It was only 99 cents. Well, who cares? Good or bad? Let's go. It's that kind of accessibility to the marketplace. It's just astounding.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And the same thing is true in developing countries as well. I mean, you know, the proliferation of phones and networks in places like Africa and Central America and, you know, things like that, you know, it's going to change those areas, hopefully for the better.
Isn't that amazing? Just amazing when you think about it, that a colossus like Microsoft, that it's not out of the question that their competitors for small micro slices of their business, nevertheless, their competitors can easily come from a backward South American or African village.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not in an African village, but comparing Irvine to San Francisco, you know, when we started development on Cirrus Insight, we were definitely talking to people at Salesforce to see, hey, are you going to build this? Are you going to come, you know, release this 3 weeks before I launch and just kill me? And, you know, while the answer we got back was no, you know, there's always that risk that you're not hearing the true story. But at some point during development, after we'd hit our stride and had some good momentum from a development standpoint, and we saw kind of where the product was going, we got some confidence that even if Salesforce came out with that product, we would be able to move potentially faster, in some regards. You know, I mean, they would be able to throw limitless resources at it if they wanted to. But, you know, there was a feeling that, you know, okay, Salesforce is going to approach it from their Salesforce lens. And we've got a little bit different perspective on it, and we think that perspective might be better, or may resonate with at least a group of customers that, a Salesforce type of solution may not. You know, there's our little sliver of the overall CRM market. And, you know, at least right now, Salesforce is saying, go for it. You know, we don't need to be there. And who knows, maybe one day they'll buy us for a few billion.
Sure. But there's a sense in which you went from Mother May I to let's go at them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's just astounding. As people around the globe begin to get the sense of what the power is that they have in that phone or that, you know, that one computer that they have connected to the global internet. And once they learn how to create these apps or get in touch with people who can create them for them, they can begin to take small, infinitely small bites from these major companies, but a small bite for you from Salesforce,
right,
it's very significant.
Right. Yeah. I would say, though, that in the same way that we may have some advantage in speed over a larger company, you know, we definitely don't have a monopoly on that. You know, there are a lot of other startups out there that have a whole lot more funding than we do. Have additional resources than we do. And in many regards, we see those people as more of a threat than we do Salesforce. So, you know, it's always, you know, I have daily alerts popping up in my inbox, making, you know, letting me know if there's any additional chatter about, so to speak, about Google and Salesforce and other apps that are coming out that are things like that. But, you know, more often than not, it's companies like Quagga and Write That Name that we're hearing about that we take a look at it and go, oh, you know, I don't see them as a competitor. I see this as an awesome feature, as an awesome thing that we can work together on, you know, from a cooperative branding or marketing strategy, something along those lines. And that way, you know, we all kind of scratch each other's backs.
Wonderful. Listen, this has been a lot of fun talking to you, and it's going to be fun working with you as we move forward. Is there anything you'd like to say before we finish up?
Well, I would say that one thing that we're working on right now is also partnerships. So if you are a Google Apps reseller or you know one, or a Salesforce consulting partner, and you have customers that you think could benefit from this, give us a ring. We're putting together some rev share programs and things like that. And it could, you know, we could scratch both of our backs again. So, could be
absolutely. And we've had some Google Apps implementers on the show, so I can introduce you to some of those folks.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Well, how would people get in touch with you?
Go to cirrusinsight.com, and let me spell that. CIRRUS is in the cloud, insight, INSIGHT.com. Or go to the App Exchange, appexchange.com, and we're number 2 on the list.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Ryan.
Thank you, Will. It's been fun.
Well, there. What a wonderful world we're living in. It's amazing what we can find just, you know, steps away from the 405, up and down. That's why it's so much fun to be the pilgrim, looking around and knocking on doors. It's amazing. It's amazing when I'm invited into people's offices to hear what they're doing and to hear what their vision is. This is not a depressed economy. This is not a place where people do not have access to resources. This is not a place where people are visionless. We live in a part of the world that has a tremendous vision and a lots of forward momentum. It's going to be a great year. 2012 is going to be a wonderful time to be alive, especially in Orange County. So it's the Pilgrim on the 405. Looking forward to talking with you again next week when we have even more exciting people to talk with.
Hello, this is Bob Annone with Sandler Training, here to talk to you about rule number one. You have to learn to fail to win. Think about learning how to walk or riding a bike. When you first started to learn how to walk, of course you fell. And you fell again, but eventually you mastered the art of walking. Same thing with riding a bike or driving a car or making cold calls or starting up a business. Henry Ford failed four times before he succeeded. Thomas Edison worked almost 10 years on the light bulb before he succeeded. They weren't failures, but they were willing to risk failure to find out what they were truly capable of achieving. At Sandler, we ask you to learn from your failures and understand that the process is failing, not you as a person. You are not a failure. The process that you are using isn't apparently the right one to produce the results that you're trying to produce. So if the cold call isn't going well, we'd ask you to examine the sales process that you are using. Don't get discouraged if your sales call doesn't go well. Learn from it. So again, Sandler rule number one is you have to be willing to fail and risk failure in order to win, to find out what you're truly capable of achieving.